This thing working? Okay. I'd like to talk today about really one verse from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The context, the immediate context of the verse is dedication to Christ. As seen in the first verse of the chapter, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." The reasonable thing for you and I as sinners saved by grace to do is to give ourselves back to the Lord who gave himself for us, right? It's our reasonable service. And so he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God." Am I acceptable to God? And then he moves on. Again, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Is God's will acceptable to me? It's good and it's perfect. Is it acceptable to me? God says it should be. It is. Being conformed to the world versus being transformed. The society of this world wants you to be like it, wants you to be conformed to it. It wants a uniformity that if they're shutting out God, they would just assume that you shut out God too and didn't mention him to you, to them. He wants to transform you to its system of mores, is what they're called. And I'd like to make a differentiation that is a good thing to keep in mind when you think about what the world says is right and what God says is right. Mores are what the world says is right. They're the world's standards for human behavior, if you study psychology. It's what the world says is the right thing to do, what your society, and that varies, of course, with whatever society. If you were from a Muslim society, it would be perfectly all right to kill somebody if they said they didn't believe in Muhammad. Its mores are different than our mores are here. But mores are the standards that are set for human behavior. And they change as society changes. When I was a kid, adultery was considered a very, very wrong thing. And fornication, sex outside of marriage, was considered a very, very wrong thing. Today, society is saying that's all right, as long as it's consensual, there's no problem with it, and so on. They're even going so far as to say that sexuality between two people of the same gender is okay. So the world's mores have degenerated that far. On the other hand, there's such a thing as morals. And I would define morals as that standard of behavior that God sets for us human beings. So mores is the standard of behavior that society sets. Morals are the standard of behavior that God sets. And we need to be careful that we don't let the world drag us in to accepting their mores instead of God's morals. 1 John 2, 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are things that the world considers okay, but that's their mores. They're not the things that God considers okay. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. The lust of the flesh, self-gratification, selfish gratification. Particularly, I think, in the realm of sexual gratification. But not just that, but self-gratification in terms of living to eat instead of eating to live. Could even come down to riding a motorcycle occasionally, I guess. Then there's the lust of the eyes, covetousness, keeping up with the neighbors. Whatever I see, I've got to have. And you see the lust of the eyes played on the ads on TV and on in the newspapers and so on all the time. You see that you deserve one of these. Here's something that everybody wants or everybody should have and so on and so forth. And covetousness is one of the things of the world. Keeping up with the Joneses, keeping up with the neighbors. If he's got a new car, I've got to get a new car. And if he bought a Toyota Corolla, I've got to buy a Toyota Camry. Just be just a little ahead of him or whatever it is. To build myself up. And then there's finally the pride of life, self-importance. I'm better than you are. I'm better morally. I'm better spiritually. I'm better physically. I'm better businessman. I'm better. Braggadocio. I'm the greatest. And the Lord says these things are not of the Father. They're of the world. We're not to be conformed to the world's set of values. James 4:4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be friends of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So the word to us in Romans 12 is don't be conformed to the world, but rather be transformed. Be moved out of that. That's what you were born in. That's where you started. Be transformed. Be changed. Moved into something else. Romans 8, 7 and 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We were born with the inability to please God. But when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we received a new life from God that does not sin, a new life from God that can please God. And as 1 John 3:9 tells us, and I probably hardly ever preach without mentioning this verse, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, that is God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I've got a new life in me that doesn't sin. I've got a new life in me that is not conformed to the world in any way, sense, or form. But I still live in this fleshly body that loves the attitudes of this world. As the Apostle Paul put it in Romans 7:22 and 23, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man.